Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
Welcome here live to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. Thanks for tuning in alongside Ryan Davis. I'm Dawson Parrilli. Hope you all are having a wonderful Monday evening. But for our show here tonight, we will be joined by both the boys and girls head coach. But starting us off, Ryan and I will just break down and recap the previous week in both girls and boys basketball here at Pendleton Heights. So starting us off, of course, the girls' side of things. Unfortunately, their season came to a close. That would have been last Friday against Mount Vernon. But before we get on to that, of course, to get there, they had to beat Greenfield Central in the first round of sectionals. That would have been last Tuesday. They beat Greenfield Central in a great win, 57-20, and really just a great team win for the Arabians. They were really hitting on all marks. They played very well nearly all four quarters, only a couple minutes. They were really even slow. One of the better performances we've seen from the Arabians. Of course, Werfel sisters had yet another great night. Casey Werfel led scoring for the Arabians with 18, with Whitney Werfel following not far behind with 14 for her. And then over for the rebounding side of things, Berkeley Shelton had another great game off of the boards, had 7 rebounds on the night, Whitney Werfel with 5. So overall, the Arabians getting it done in that first round of sectionals in style.
Yeah, I mean, there's a great motivation booster to go into that second round against Mount Vernon. I mean, having a great game and having a big opponent after that game, I mean, 2 conference opponents. It was a really big game for the Arabians going in later rounds. Really big game for Whitney Werfel, Berkeley Shelton, people like that.
Yeah, and then as you mentioned there, that win against Greenfield Central bought them a ticket to the second round of sectionals, the semifinals. That was against Mount Vernon. By the way, both of those games, Greenfield Central and Mount Vernon, were at Mount Vernon. They were originally supposed to be here, but due to the gym having damage a couple weeks before the tournament, they had to call it at Mount Vernon. They had a chance to slip it here, but they had to make a decision a couple weeks before sectionals actually occurred. So just unfortunately, they said that we couldn't do it, so it went over to Mount Vernon. But as you mentioned there, they bought the ticket to Mount Vernon game. Very emotional matchup heading into it. Obviously got the two rivals. Mount Vernon eliminated them last year. It was a very emotional, a very tense matchup, and the Arabians really just struggled on the offensive end was the story. A lot of aggravation throughout the game, a lot of emotion, and that was shown. Mount Vernon, of course, you have to look to them, you look to Ellery Minch, had 14 points, really led the Mount Vernon Marauders, had just about half of Mount Vernon points, just under half. Mount Vernon 29, Pendleton 25 was the final score. Very low scoring matchup. Casey Werfel led scoring for the Arabians with 11. Casey did foul out, but that just really shows how physical this matchup was. A lot of foul trouble for both teams, especially down the stretch, but unfortunately for the Arabians, they just couldn't pull out the win.
Yeah, it was a low-scoring game. Really came down to defense, and, I mean, not the biggest shooting night for the Arabians. I think they only hit one beyond the three-point arc. As you said, very emotional. I mean, whenever you are in the high school and you're talking about the biggest opponent for any Arabians athletic team, it's the Mount Vernon Marauders. I mean, that's the team everyone wants to beat.
Yeah, and although it wasn't really a high-scoring matchup, of course, as I was mentioning, 29-25 final score, I think it was a very close matchup, very emotional, very physical, as I was mentioning. Just taking a look at some of the stats for the team field goal percentage, I mean, that just sums it up. Mount Vernon, 33%, Pendleton Heights, 26%. I mean, both teams just couldn't really get anything going on offense, but I think that's not only great defense, I think it's just really that's struggling offense. Great defense, though, for both teams. A lot of physical pressure for the three-point percentage for both teams. Mount Vernon, 10. Pendleton Heights, 9. So both teams struggled. Unfortunately, Pendleton Heights just struggled a bit more, and I think a lot of that fuels from that frustration. I think it was just a lot on the line, and once you started going down by quite a bit, a decent amount, obviously there wasn't really any huge lead throughout the game, but I think you just got nervous, and you got a bit aggravated with Mount Vernon. Then I think you might be playing a bit of sloppy offense, a bit taking too many shots. You went back, so I think that was really the main focus point that Pendleton Heights really wanted to fix if they wanted to come back in that one again. Unfortunately, they just couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, another big thing was Mount Vernon did have home court advantage in that game. That is a big thing. Having your home student section is really big. I mean, a lot of people from Pendleton showed out for this sectional game. But they just couldn't pull it out.
Yeah, and you mentioned their student sections. I mean, just like last year, I mean, both Pendleton Heights, Mount Vernon student sections still yet to disappoint when they play each other. I mean, both of their students filling up the student sections, both of them being as loud as they can, and that really also goes to a statistical standpoint. I mean, you look at free throw percentages, which is really affected by home court advantage. Pendleton Heights shot 50% from the free throw line, one of the lowest they've had all season. So I think that goes to show you how loud those Mount Vernon fans are and how much they can make their presence known.
Yeah, that game was very mental for both teams. As you said, shooting was not anyone's strong suit in that game. Really came down to defense, and both teams showed out. That was a really big bright spot on both teams. And, I mean, just Arabians could not finish.
Yeah, but switching things now over to the boys' side of things, just quickly recapping their week. They only had one game. That was Yorktown. They had a chance to get that first conference win of the season against the Tigers here at home, but unfortunately, yet again, they just couldn't pull it out. But I think you look at that game, I think it wasn't a horrible matchup. I mean, you look at Josiah Gustin really answered the call. One thing that Coach Ballard was really emphasizing going into that game was he wants him to attack the paint more. He wants their team to be more of a outside-in team rather than an inside-out. They want to go to the paint first, then kick it out if they don't see anything. And I think Josiah Gustin answered that call. Gustin had a great night up to, excuse me, he got up to 15 points, shot 60% from the field, also had four blocks on top of it. So Josiah Gustin was dominating on both ends of the floor. Unfortunately, as I was mentioning, Arabians couldn't pull away. 55-49 was that final score. With that being said, we will take a quick break. When we return, we will be joined here now by the girls' basketball head coach, Coach Rogers, to recap the sectional week here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizen State Bank. Citizen State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizen State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the ASN Coaches Show on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM. You're joined here now by the head coach for the girls basketball varsity squad here at Pendleton Heights, Coach Rogers. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so starting off here, of course, you had sectionals this past week, starting off with Greenfield Central. That was last Tuesday. You guys were really efficient in that matchup, dominated on both ends of the floor, got the win in the first round of sectionals, bought that ticket to the semifinals round. So what did you really see from your girls in that Greenfield Central game?
Yeah, you know, that game against Greenfield Central, you know, we were kind of firing on all cylinders, making shots, sharing the basketball. You know, our assist total, I think, was probably the highest of the season. So, you know, it was a great team win. It was a great team win. But, no matter what, you know, kind of draw you get, you always know that at some point you're going to have to come across Mount Vernon. And, you know, that we hit a rough patch Friday night. And, you know, that's kind of where we were. So
yeah, but you mentioned there you guys sadly fell to Mount Vernon in that second round of sectionals, that semifinals game. So how did you think your girls really performed in that one?
Yeah, you know, I think everything we asked them to do defensively, we did. You know, I think we forced 20 some turnovers on them, but likewise we had 20 some turnovers on us. So once again, you know, I think we executed what we wanted to do defensively. I just think on the offensive end, you know, just trying to, you know, the actions that we were running against that matchup, we just struggled. And Mount Vernon, the less shots from the perimeter that went down for us, just the tighter. It was almost like a boa constrictor, just kind of tightening up on that paint area. So, but even with all of that, we still had chances. There were times where I felt like we could have folded. We didn't. We battled back. Casey had a look there towards the end to kind of tie it or maybe make one and go up one. Sometimes that's the thing about competing. That's the thing about basketball. Sometimes balls don't bounce your way. They don't go in. Things don't go to plan. And, if you're not winning, you're learning. So I think that for us it was another learning experience, and we just got to continue to work to get better, better skilled, but we also got to work and try to find ourselves at a spot where we're have a little bit better mental toughness against a team like that to be able to beat them in the postseason.
So you mentioned the turnovers and miscommunication was a big factor in the game. How did that impact the offense?
Yeah, I think a lot of them were just, unforced, just bad turnovers. I think a lot of that is was the environment. I would probably say without a shadow of a doubt that there were probably more Pendleton fans there than Mount Vernon fans. When you looked up behind our bench, it was a sea of green, white, and black. And, with the exception of Casey and Whitney, I don't know that many of our girls have played a lot of minutes in an environment like that. We play an extremely tough schedule, and that's why we do that to help prepare us for times like that. But I think until you're in that moment, it's really hard to duplicate that. So no matter what we do in practice and things like that, it's hard to put a 14, 15 year old girl in that situation and kind of see how it feels. So it was a great environment. We just gotta, like I said, go back to the drawing board. It stinks that we gotta wait 365 days to get back out there and get after it again in the postseason, but we're definitely going to come back stronger next year and work on our weaknesses and see if we can't get them next year.
So your guys' defense was a bright spot in that game against a very talented team. How does that show the mentality of this team?
Yeah, I think that definitely. I think the first time we played them, we gave up 50-some points or, the high 40s or something like that. So, the defensive game plan worked. We just kind of fell flat offensively. And that's something that we've tried to, we tried to hang our hat on this year. We did play quite a few different defenses. We're a zone or a man team first. But sometimes with personnel, we tried to mix in some zones. So I'm extremely proud of that effort. Berkeley, Witt, and, really everybody that played did a great job rebounding and battling on that end. We just unfortunately couldn't make enough plays on the other end.
Yeah, and you are unfortunately losing those three seniors over the offseason. Whitney Warfel, Berkeley, Shelton, Shemiah Herndon. So if you could just go through those, say, what are some of your favorite memories coaching those girls?
Yeah, there's four of them. Ava Kate Phillips is in there, too.
Yeah. That's my bad.
No, you're good. One of those things, I think for me to really only spend 1 year with them as their head coach, I think that was probably the hardest part was, just thinking what if. It's like I told them, you can't go back. You can only look forward. And, just extremely proud of how all four of them handled themselves. They always came in, they worked extremely hard, at practice. Really whenever they got opportunities to get in there and have minutes, they always worked their tails off. So, it's like I told them when we got back, this group, did we accomplish what we wanted to? No. But they definitely kind of laid the foundation for what we're working towards and trying to build here. And that can't be forgotten. So that's one of the things that we'll always cherish about them. They laid the groundwork for where we're trying to go. And, we'll always appreciate that. And, hopefully, when it pays off down the road, we can kind of look to them and, you know, kind of say, you know, hey, you helped us get to this point.
Yeah, and one last question here. As the season will come to a close, just looking back on the year as a whole, what would you say some of your favorite moments this season came?
Yeah, you know, I think early in the season, beating Pike away, I think that kind of helped, you know, show us that we belong and we can play some of those, you know, teams down in Indianapolis. I think making it to the county tournament championship was big for us. Of course, it still kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth because it's over, and you know, kind of the way that game went down, being so low scoring and things like that. But I think we have to stay focused on the fact that we were a 15-win team, you know, with really only a handful of returners coming back, and you know, we were 6-1 in the conference. You know, once again, we played Mount Vernon during the year with me, you know, unfortunately out. So, you know, there's so many things to build on from the year. A lot of girls got better, and I truly believe that the future's bright.
But with that being said, that will do it for this first segment here with Coach Rogers. We'll take a short break, but when we return, we will look ahead to the offseason as well as next season here with Coach Rogers on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, skincare, and spa services on Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323 or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Attention high school Governor sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Indiana needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome here to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM. If you're just joining us, alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Perry. We are joined here yet again by Coach Rogers, head coach for the girls' varsity basketball team here at Pendleton Heights High School. But as we were mentioning in that previous segment with you, Coach Rogers, of course, unfortunately, your season came to an end. Mount Vernon's semifinal round of the sectionals. But what could you really take from that loss? And I know you mentioned it in that previous segment, but what could you really take from that loss and build onto it next season over the offseason?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, once again, we made enough stops in that game to win. So, you know, I would much rather have to be at a point where we have to come in and get better on the offensive end and, you know, figuring out, you know, ways to be able to stretch that zone a little bit. You know, you look at girls in our program like, you know, Skylar Baldwin. You know, Skylar Baldwin has put the work in since last spring. And I'm not going to say she was always, you know, a threat, but for her to be able to make, you know, probably I would say 7 to 10 threes in a game this year, that kind of shows what, you know, kids can do if they come in, they work hard, and they kind of buy into what we're doing. So I'm extremely, you know, proud of that. And there's many other girls like that. Olivia Jones put in a lot of work. Casey Warfel was a much better three-point shooter this year. So, you know, we'll figure things out on the offensive end. But I think for us, big, you know, the biggest thing was just defensively. We were good enough defensively. You know, I just think that mentally we weren't quite there to be able to get Mount Vernon, but we will for sure.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, that Mount Vernon loss, and as you mentioned in that question there, Skylar Baldwin, really just one of the aggressive physical, emotional players on this team, but her, as well as a couple other girls, going to be seniors next year. So how are you expecting them to really fill that role as the leader on that team?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things. You know, when you come back after your season's over, we met in the locker room and kind of talked about things, and we let those seniors know that, like, you know, like I said earlier, you helped kind of lay the foundation for where we are now and where we're trying to go. And you know, after we talked through them, we sent the seniors on their way, and then we talked to those underclassmen, and we're like, you know, hey, you know, this is what we have now. So I definitely expect, and I know that a lot of those girls who are going to be, you know, shifting into leadership roles, that they're gonna fall in line with it great. So, you know, we always talk about leave a legacy. That's kind of our motto, and we weren't quite, you know, there yet this year. But I know that here, you know, down the road, we're definitely going to be in a position to be able to do some things and do those. So it just stinks, but it's also good, because, you know, we send a message out to the girls and let them know that, hey, you know, we got 365 days to put the work in and get to a point where, you know, we can have that opportunity again with them in the postseason. So I know they're all going to be ready. Yes, there's going to be girls stepping into new roles, but I wholeheartedly believe that that those girls that are going to do that, they're ready for it, and we're going to move forward.
So when do you guys start off-season practice?
Yeah, so I think that limited contact time, you know, it's around, I think, like, you know, March or April, maybe after spring break, but we'll start getting after it a couple times a week, and you know, really start getting better on some of the weaknesses that showed in that Mount Vernon game. But we're definitely looking forward to it, and it should be, you know, here in a couple months.
So are there any younger players coming up to high school that you are looking forward to?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at some of our classes coming up in the next couple years, I do think that, you know, the youth movement is going to be big. There's, you know, I think there's good groups of girls all the way down, you know, into our, you know, second grade team. So we're excited for the future, and we're excited to kind of see where these, you know, the girls who are currently in the program now, those underclassmen, kind of where they continue to lead it, you know, what they bring to the table, how hard they're willing to work, and, you know, just kind of moving forward. We want to see what kind of legacy they can leave. So, yep, you know, the future's bright. The sun did come up on Saturday. I kind of joked with my wife. But, you know, we're going to work for, you know, 365 days until we can get back to that spot and see if we can be a little bit better to get that done.
Yeah, but obviously this was your first year as head coach here for the Arabians. Obviously, you have a coach in the past as an assistant, but you personally as a coach, what would you say you're trying to work on heading into your next couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I think coaching is all about building relationships, and, you know, I think sometimes we get fixated on the X's and O's and everything basketball-wise, but, you know, you also want to make sure that you're when your time's come to an end with a girl in your program, that you want to leave her better than you originally found her. So, I mean, you know, that's one of the things we want to continue. Yes, we want to get better on the court, but we want to also just continue to just keep – you know, being a small part of helping, you know, lead, you know, future pillars of this community into college and then life after college as well. So, you know, we're gonna work hard to get better in the weight room, and then, you know, mentally as well, and as far as X's and O's. But also, just, you know, want to keep seeing our girls be, you know, good pillars of the community.
Yeah, but when you're looking at the future of this program, of course, a name that comes up is Casey Warfel. You have for two more years, which is almost too amazing to believe. But what would you say you're most looking forward to when it comes to coaching her for her next two upperclassmen years?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, once again, I think we're still – we saw a lot of growth from Casey this year, but I think that, you know, we've still only scratched the surface. You know, she was a much better shooter with her feet set this year, but there's still things that, that we can add to her bag to be able to score and impact games, maybe not just on the offensive end as well. So I know she's hungry. I know, you know, a couple people saw the picture that was floating around of, you know, kind of her leaving the court in tears. I think that's something that's, you know, she's probably – that's going to be some motivation for this year coming up. But I'm just excited to see her, you know, kind of step into that new leadership role, being a junior next year, and just seeing how she's going to interact with, you know, kind of girls looking to her you know, for guidance and how to work and things like that. So I know she's going to keep continuing to work, but I'm more excited to see how she kind of elevates some of those other girls as well.
All right, but with that being said, that is all the time we have. Once again, Coach, thanks for not only joining us tonight, thanks for your help the entire season.
Yeah, hey, I want to tell you guys, I appreciate you, all you do, and look forward to being with you next year.
Yeah, I can't wait for next year. But with that being said, we will take a short break. When we return, we will be joined here now by Coach Ballard on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. If you're just tuning in alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Peril. We're joined here now by the head coach for the Pendleton Heights boys basketball team, Coach Ballard. So getting things started here, Coach, you guys had only one game this past week against the Yorktown Tigers. And although you could not pull away with the conference win, what would you take away from that game?
Just that we've got to be more aggressive offensively. We've got to have, you know, particularly Aaron Cookston, Evan Mazingo. We need those guys to look to make a few more plays. And I thought defensively we did a lot of good things. They had a guy, guy that was 0-for-4 on the season, hit three threes in the first quarter. So that's a little unexpected, but. You know, our kids battled and really, really fought hard to try and get back in it, and just came up a little bit short. And so we got to take better care of the ball, and we got to do a better job of attacking, particularly zone defenses.
Yeah, and one significant point of focus you emphasized throughout the week in preparation for those Yorktown Tigers was your attempt to really attack the paint and play as more of an inside-out team rather than outside-in. So how do you think your team answered that call?
Well, you know. They really tried to, especially early, but everything that we were trying to do was get Josiah that ball inside, and we had some success with that early, but then when Yorktown went to that zone, they really started collapsing on him, and that's when we need other guys to be willing to rip and get in the paint or, you know, rip at baseline and try to get something going that way, and we didn't do enough of that, you know, to have success, and so we ended up, you know, we'd move the ball pretty well, and then we'd get a jump shot from the outside, and we just weren't hitting. I think we ended up being 5 of 13 on the night, which is, you know, that's a good percentage, but we were 3 of 11 until Cannon and Joe both hit one with less than a minute to go. So, you know, up to that point, we're really more like 25% from three, and we just got to be able to get some things going in the paint a little bit earlier and try to get to the free throw line a little bit more, and, you know, that tends to make the basket look a little bit bigger when you're shooting those outside shots.
So going into that Yorktown game, you guys struggled with was turnovers. You had 19 total team turnovers, which was second most in the season. Can you touch a bit on why you think that was? How do you plan to work on that?
A lot of timidness. You know, it's nobody's fault, but to give you an example, like a Hunter Suhina played differently than what he would have had it been a JV game. Had it been a JV game, he'd have split those top two guys and he'd have been making plays all night. And he just, you know, having, you know, I think it was his third varsity game ever, and probably something that, you know, even now he's still wrapping his mind around. He probably didn't ever think he was going to get that opportunity this year. And, we have to be more assertive with the ball. A lot of our turnovers were because we were trying not to make a mistake rather than trying to make things happen.
So now sticking with that Yorktown loss, one thing you guys did a generally good job at pulling in offensive rebounds and second chance opportunities with 8 total offensive boards, which you were tied for 3rd most in the game. How did you help stick with the Tigers and not let Yorktown get a bigger lead?
Well, I actually had us for 10. I had us for 26 rebounds overall, 10 offensive boards. They had 15 total rebounds, and so we out-rebounded them by 11. You know, getting about 60% of the rebounds, you're going to win most of those games. And, you know, for one reason or another, you know, we've gone through all this stuff, but not to go too long with the answer to your question here. Like, you, number one, when you get those offensive boards, you got to convert. You got to be willing to go right back up and finish strong, or you got to kick it out and try to make a play while the defense is kind of in rotation or in flux there. And, a lot of times we were pulling it out and kind of letting them get set, and then we were trying to reattack instead of trying to take advantage of what we had just worked for and earned.
Yeah, and heading into that Yorktown matchup, a big question mark for you guys was, can you slow down AJ Dunn? So how do you think Aaron Cookson and the others really did when it comes to locking down Dunn?
You know, I thought they did a pretty good job on him. He had a three early, about 25 feet, and that's not something he's done a whole lot of. That was the only time that I thought we could have done a little bit better job on him. I think he ended up with 14. He's averaging 18 or 19 a game. So I thought our kids did a good job. You know, credit to Yorktown's, you know, other guys, you know, 11, 3. Those guys really stepped up and made some shots, and guys that we wanted to put in positions to have to make plays to beat us. And to their credit, they did. They did a really nice job. They weren't scared.
Yeah, and Evan Mazingo did have a tough game last Thursday, 6 turnovers, which is the most on the season, and you had him bench for a little bit of that third quarter. So can you touch a bit on that?
Well, Evan, you know, Evan's such a good kid, such a good player. He's going to be a really, really good basketball player, but he's still trying to kind of find his way. You know, most of his life he's just been a set shooter, and now we're asking him to be a playmaker and a guy that can put it on the floor and can do different things. And he's doing a great job. He's extremely coachable, but a lot of Evan's issues with turnovers come from how hard he's willing to throw passes or fire passes. And a lot of Evan's passes tend to kind of float, and if you look at his turnovers, most of them were on a pass. And it's not because he's not seeing the right stuff. It's not because he doesn't know where to go with the ball or what to do. It's all just the intensity of how you fire those passes. And he's going back to that timidness that I talked about a few minutes ago. He's still timid at times, and I thought the combination of their zone kind of being a little confusing and that timidness, you know, hurt him.
Yeah, and looking at that Yorktown, Josiah Gustin had one of his better nights when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, have 4 blocks, couple of forced turnovers here and there. So what did you really see from him on that side of things?
Well, Joe's doing all the things that we've been talking about trying to get Joe to do. He's posting hard, he's showing his hands, he's being aggressive when he catches the ball. And so that's where, you know, now teams are really keying on him and trying to collapse on him. And that's where it goes back to one of your original questions of what we have to do better. That's where guys like Aaron, like Isaac, like Evan, you know, everybody have to be willing to be a little bit more assertive on the perimeter.
But with that being said, that'll do it for our first segment here with Coach Ballard. We'll take a short pause, but when we return, we will look ahead to the next week here with Coach Ballard on the Arabian Sports Network Coach Show 91.7 WEEM.
Governor Holcomb, I love how high school sports teach the importance of the journey.
I couldn't agree more, Commissioner Neidig. Before any measure of success is achieved, like making a winning play or earning a state championship, student-athletes go on an essential journey that humbles and teaches them every step of the way.
The lessons learned along the journey of high school sports are about so much more than just the game. Student athletes learn how to persevere through adversity, never give up, and to get better every day.
This second classroom teaches the skills, behaviors, and attitudes student athletes need to be successful on the playing field and in life.
There's no better training ground for today's teens on their way to becoming tomorrow's leaders. Support the vital work of education-based athletics by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is keeping education in front of athletics. This is the journey of high school sports. This is your IHSAA.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the IHSAA and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
To the ASA Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 917 WEEM. We are joined here yet again by Coach Ballard. But Coach, you guys will be back at it tomorrow, facing off against the 10-6 Muncie Central Bearcats here on your home floor. So what have you been focusing on in this week of practice in preparation for tomorrow's game?
Well, you know, they're a totally different kind of team than like a Yorktown or, you know, some of these other guys that we've been playing against, even like a New Pal, Shelbyville. Even HSE to an extent, they're extremely athletic. They really want to get up and pressure you. They're very quick. They really get in the passing lane. So we spent a lot of time really trying to focus on being willing to back cut, being willing to be strong with the basketball. And, you know, they run kind of some different types of not really actions, but they're kind of a five-out team, and then they'll run some continuity things here and there. And so it's just a total kind of 180 from what we've seen the past couple games. So we work really hard to, you know, to prepare for their personnel and what they're going to do from an offensive and a defensive standpoint. And we're going to have to be ready to go because they're going to bring the pressure. They're going to get out and run. They're going to crash the boards. And, you know, we're just going to have to handle those things.
Yeah, before the Bearcats, Josiah Alom, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that, but he's a guy you have to mention, not leading the Muncie Central Bearcats in points per game, but still averaging 11 points a game along with 2.1 steals. So Josiah is really a threat on both offense and defense. So what's the game plan to really slow him down?
Well, you know, he's a coach's kid. He's smart. You know, Coach Alom, first year there, and brought his son Josiah with him. And he's probably their most complete player. He shoots about 38% from outside. But he really kind of, you know, he's the straw that kind of stirs the drink for those guys. He's great at getting in the paint and finding guys in the corner, finding back cutters, looking for dumps, and really, really good on-ball defender, very smart off-ball defender. And so we got to make sure that we stay in front of him. We don't let him have any easy looks from outside. But really the big thing with a guy like Josiah Alom is you got to contain him, and you can't let him get in the paint. You can't let him draw help, because if you do, he's going to hurt you.
So the Bearcats are efficient from the offensive end, shooting 49% from the field and committing only 3 turnovers a quarter. But with that in mind, what is it going to take to disrupt Muncie Central's offense and make them uncomfortable shooting and passing the ball?
Well, we've got to stay in front of them. One-on-one, we got to stay in front and do a great job of not needing a lot of extra help. You know, would be number one. Make them settle for jump shots. And then we got to finish with 5 guys blocking out and getting that first rebound. They're so good at getting second chance opportunities. Gore is really good on the offensive boards. Really all their guys are good at crashing from the outside. So we got to do a great job there. And then offensively, you know, we've got to be strong with the basketball, and we got to work to get a great shot every time down the floor. We're going to be able to get good shots as long as we take care of the ball.
Yeah, and as we mentioned there in that previous segment, really looking back on last week, of course, one of the things you want to be working on is attacking the paint a lot more. But with these Muncie Bearcats specifically, do you think you want to stick with that, or do you think maybe another game plan's in set?
Well, I think anytime that, you know, we're on offense, we have to play inside back out. And it's not an indictment against our team or anything like that, but we don't have the shooting capability to play like the Golden State Warriors. You know, we've got to get the ball in the paint and then let that open up other opportunities. I think on the season we're at like 32% from three. You know, that's less than one out of every three. And a good shooting team is going to be in the high 30s, you know, sometimes even close, you know, pushing that 40% mark. And so we're just not there. We're going to work on all those things, and we're going to keep trying to become better shooters. But until we are, Josiah Gustin is going to be a huge matchup issue for them. I don't think they have anybody that can match his length or his size. And so we're going to have to play through Joe just like we've been trying to do all year, and let that open other things up for us.
Yeah, and then looking on to the other game this week, you'll be traveling over, make the long drive to Mississinewa. That'll be on Saturday. Of course, Mississinewa only 4-12, not having the best year, but with that being said, any team is a threat and no win is guaranteed. So what would you say heading into that matchup you want your Arabians to focus on?
Oh, you're 100% right. I mean, you can never you never take anything for granted. We gotta be prepared to fight, and hopefully tomorrow we do a great job against the Bearcats, and then we can have some good practices and go up and play Ole Miss strong up at their place. We've never been there before. This will be something that our kids have never experienced. They are going to be a similar team to a Muncie Central, very athletic, very fast, and Coach Reed does a great job of trying to kind of muddy things up defensively. They really try to get into you, really try to get you off your game a little bit. And so I guess the fortunate thing for us is the teams are kind of similar in how they play. So it won't be a huge, adjustment going from Muncie to Mississinewa.
Yeah, and one player to mention on Mississinewa, Preston McCann, a very versatile player, can play a lot of spots on that floor, averaging 11.4 points per game. So what do you try to game plan when it comes to defending such a versatile player that can really play in any position?
Well, you try to just be solid. You know, we have kind of five things that we try to do well defensively, and it's closeouts, jumping to the ball, being in the help side position, helping with our chest, blocking out, and communicating. And if we do those five things well, then we can defend anybody. And so we've got to do a great job of five guys guarding the ball, five guys blocking out, five guys closing out, you know, five guys helping with their chest, and five guys talking. And, if we can accomplish that, then we're going to have a chance to come out of there with a win.
Yeah, and one last question here again for Mississinewa. One thing they do struggle with, turnovers, averaging 16 a game, one of the highest in 4A for Indiana. So how do you maybe try to take advantage of that, put a lot of pressure to them on defense?
Well, I think the more active we can be defensively, the more disciplined we can be defensively, the better. And something we've got to do a better job of, I think you saw at the end of that Yorktown game, is we got to get back to getting up the line when we're one pass away. You know, we're really kind of jumping back into gaps right now, and that's something where we got to get back up on our toes and off of our heels.
All right, but with that being said, that is all the time we have here. Once again, Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate you having me, Mr. White, here. I hope you enjoyed that game on Saturday. Go Hoosiers.
But with that being said, we will take a quick break. But when we return, Ryan and I will just look forward for both boys and girls basketball here on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Indiana. This message presented by the IHSAA and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Hey, Janie. You know what one of my favorite things about high school sports is? Seeing young fans in the stands cheering on their community.
I love watching elementary age kids wearing their team's colors, holding up homemade signs, faces painted, just full of hopes and dreams. I'm Janie Ulmer.
And I'm Brian Lewis. We're both assistant commissioners of the Indiana High School Athletic Association. We're also both former student athletes who were once those young fans in the stands, dreaming about wearing a jersey for our high school one day.
When you support high school sports, you protect the next generation's dream of representing their high school with pride.
And you ensure the invaluable learning experience of education-based athletics is available for years to come.
So buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events, because it doesn't just support today's student athletes.
It supports tomorrow's too.
This is investing in your community. This is protecting their dream. This is your IHSAA.
Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone, but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show 91.7 WEEM. Before our final segment here for the evening, Ryan and I will just look forward for both boys and girls basketball as we just did with the coaches, but more of just talk it over. Starting off here with the boys, I mean, obviously you got a pretty tough matchup with Muncie Central tomorrow. Of course, Muncie Central being in your division, not too long of a drive, but it's here on your home floor. Again, that'll be tomorrow. So Muncie Central sitting at 10-7. They got some pretty good players, but I think Pendleton Heights will have a solid chance to get it done. Again, Pendleton Heights really has had a lot of close games, and they've proved time and time again that when they're playing their best, they are a very good basketball team, and they're tough to beat. You look back to that Anderson game in the first round of the Madison County Tournament. Of course, you couldn't come away with the win, but it was a great game. You win to overtime with a top tier team in the state, Anderson, currently sitting at 15-3, and you ran them, you gave them a run for your money. It was on the road. Anderson was it was packed at Anderson High School, and then you also look back to that Heritage Christian game just before Christmas, and another game where you're going up against a very top tier opponent, Miles Colvin, of course, being one of the, I think he's third, according to 24/7 Sports, he's third in all of Indiana for class of 2023 recruits. And Heritage Christian, and they're a very tough team to take down, but the Arabians unfortunately couldn't, but they came close. They pushed them into overtime. They really showed that they can go against some of the top opponents. So I think Pendleton Heights, I've said it pretty much this entire season, but I think Pendleton Heights, their record doesn't really state what kind of team they are. I think they're a very good team. I think John Harrell, just looking at his projections game in, game out, he always has them so close, and a lot of people looking at those don't really fall. Pendleton Heights is like, what? You got this team that's below 300, and you have them coming close to our team, which has almost flipped their record. That just doesn't seem right, but then it actually happens on the floor, and you're like, how are these guys this record? And I think that's the story for Pendleton Heights this year.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of Pendleton Heights has a lot of talent, but as Coach Ballard was talking about, it always ends up like timidness, yeah. As he was saying, Evan Mazingo being he always was that just stand-up shooter, not really having to create those plays. But now they're asking a little bit more of him, and just the timidness from, the student section, this being his first year playing in high school basketball, feel like that could be one of the bigger things.
Oh, yeah, and taking a look at the Muncie Central Bearcats, you, of course, have to mention Daniel Harris, 14.3 points a game. You didn't mention him much in that segment with Coach Ballard, but still a very good scorer. He is a guard, but very tough. And, of course, another player we did mention in the segment with Coach Ballard, Josiah Ullman, a very great player, averaging 11.8 points per game, along with over 2 steals a game. So very, he's a threat on both ends of the floor, and Pendleton Heights will have to lock him up and pay attention to him, because he can slip in there. One thing, a lot of his steals aren't really straight up. They're not. You're going to be just knocking it out of your hands, grabbing it. It's more of just slipping under, more of just escaping your eyesight than coming out of nowhere and poking the ball out. So he's a very slippery defender that Pendleton Heights will have to pay attention towards. But again, I think this matchup will be great. And of course, you have to mention to that Saturday game, Pendleton Heights will be making the long trip over to Mississinewa. As Coach Bell was mentioning, these boys on this team, none of them have ever been out to Mississinewa, so a new experience for them. But obviously, long drive. You got around 45 minutes, just under an hour, I would say, maybe over an hour for a school bus. But so obviously you have to mention that long ride. But Mississinewa, not the best year, as Coach Ballard was mentioning, that mismatch with Josiah Gustin. Don't really have a player that can really counter Josiah Gustin, so they plan to really take advantage of that. But again, I think both of those games, Muncie Central, Mississinewa, keys the game, of course, as they've always been, really attack down low. Josiah Gustin will do what he has to do, but then it comes to those more of those side role players, Aaron Cookson, Isaac Wilson, Evan Mazingo, to really support him, come help him if he's in trouble, and get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Cushing, just such a big player on this team for just mentality, motivation. If you see whoever, I mean, he was guarding Miles Colvin and Amir Carson, the bigger players, the bigger scorers on the opposing team. He's just that big motivator, and he is always the one to get the team fired up.
Yeah, but switching things now to the girls' side of things, of course, if you're just tuning in, their season unfortunately came to a close. That would have been last Friday. They bought a ticket to the sectional semifinals in a Tuesday win against Greenfield Central, but unfortunately they just couldn't get past, of course, the Mount Vernon Marauders. It seems like we're saying that year in, year out, but it's true. Mount Vernon has gotten the upper hand on Pendleton Heights, especially when it comes to basketball for these past few years. But Pendleton Heights, you can't really help but look towards the future. I mean, you, of course, have Casey Warfel, only a sophomore this year, will be a junior. She is just a great player, is wonderful off the dribble, can drive into the lane, seems like, I don't know, she just seems like contact isn't even affected. She's not even affected by contact. She'll just drive in there. Doesn't matter if all five players are trying to defend that shot, she'll still make it look effortless. So really just a great player overall, Casey Warfel is. And then, of course, you have to mention her sister, obviously, Whitney Warfel, leaving. Very unfortunate for those seniors. I think Whitney Warfel had a great year, got to that 1,000-point milestone. Berkeley Shell, another player to mention, led the Arabians in double-doubles, just such a threat off the board, such a physical player. And then Tremaya Herndon, a solid shooter, can really knock him down from long range when the Arabians need him. And Ava Phillips, another great fundamental player that can knock down some shots time and time again. So those seniors will be missed, but you can't help but look forward. Of course, I was mentioning Casey Warfel, Skylar Baldwin, another player to mention. Olivia Jones, only being a freshman, really plays like a mature player that's been there so many times, even though she's really only played however many games the Arabians have played this year. So I think you got to look to those players. Future's definitely bright for the Arabians.
Yeah, I mean, Skylar Baldwin, one of the bigger players on this team. She was always, if she made a mistake, she would always make up for it the next play, maybe get a steal, maybe get a block. She's always the person to make up her mistakes and just really one of the big mentality boosters for the team.
Yeah, and again, looking back more to the Arabian season as a whole, of course, you started off kind of slow. You started with your first four games 2-2, but as Coach Rogers was mentioning there, that Pike game was one of his favorite moments of the season, and I think I would say same. I mean, I think that Pike game really launched them and gave them a confidence, gave them a certain feel that we can take down opponents, because Pike was a tough squad. I mean, it's Indy. They're going to be physical, and Pendleton Heights stuck with them. They didn't go out. They kept on. And in fact, they got even better as the game went on. And I think you look down the line, you kind of suffered a couple losses here and there, but then you look at that lapel loss in the Madison County Tournament, and really after that, you went in a run. You got a lot of conference play after that, and you went in a run. You beat Greenfield Central. You beat New Pal. Greenfield Central was earlier, but you beat New Pal. You beat Delta. You beat some tough teams that aren't necessarily easy to beat. Some of them not crazy good on the record books, but a conference always a tough game. And Pendleton Heights really showed that after that Madison County loss, that they're still a contender. They'll still make a push in the playoffs, and they took down LaPel later on. They got their revenge against LaPel later on in the season, and then unfortunately just couldn't make that deep of a push. Mount Vernon, such a good team. I mean, they've proved that they're physical. They've proved that they're going to make it far into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Mount Vernon just always probably the biggest opponent for Pendleton Heights. Just a big team that Pendleton always wants to beat. But I mean, the entire conference is, I mean, New Pal is probably the next up, but just winning a game against people like New Pal earlier in the season is a big motivation booster going into later in the season. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing going into next season. When you did lose to Mount Vernon this year in sectionals, going into next year, I feel like that's going to leave a bad taste in the mouth, and they're going to be ready.
But with that being said, that'll do it for our coaches show here this evening. Once again, for Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Perrell. We thank you all for tuning in. We hope you all have a wonderful rest of your Monday. But with that being said, you're listening to 91.7 WEEM.